Hey, Tucson, you can still get your barbecue on at Ken's Hardwood Barbecue, 5250 East 22nd Street, offering our delicious award-winning brisket, ribs, southern fried catfish, down-home sides, and our full menu of homemade dishes for takeout. 745-4746. That's 745-4746. Or visit our website. Come on down to Ken's Hardwood Barbecue and get your barbecue on. The following program does not necessarily reflect the opinions of KVOI or its affiliates. Welcome to Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander on KVOI 1030 The Voice. Get Your Barbecue On is a show for backyard cooks looking for tips and insight into barbecuing, grilling, entertaining, and enjoying themselves outside with delicious food. Each week, we'll share some barbecuing and grilling tips, techniques, recipes, and a few pitmaster secrets you just have to know. Every show will feature fun, interesting, and informative guests. And we'll also answer listener questions. Please send your questions to getyourbbqon@gmail.com or visit our website at kenshardwoodbbq.com and click radio show. Hey, welcome to today's show. Today, I'm here with Dr. Andre Jones. He's the co-host. And today, we're going to be talking about tailgating. We talked a bit about it last week's show, but this week, we are going to talk about how you prepare the full meal on the grill and get it all ready about the same time. And we're going to talk about one of our favorite tools at the tailgate and even barbecuing, and that is aluminum foil. We're going to be talking about aluminum foil and how it's such a helpful tool at the tailgate and whenever we're barbecuing and grilling. Also, we have a fantastic guest today. We have Donna Liggins. She's done so much here in Tucson for young folks, young people over the years. And so it's going to be a really nice conversation. So hang on in there after the break when we're talking to Donna Liggins. So let's get on into tailgating. Dr. Jones, welcome to the show.
Thanks. I never heard aluminum foil called aluminum, however you pronounce
aluminium.
It. Aluminium. Perfect.
Yeah.
I was puzzled. I was like, what's that?
Anyway, Dr. Jones, we're talking about the tailgate again today. I think last week we were...
You teased it.
Yeah, we
totally
teased it.
Totally teased it.
I think last week we were just really selling the tailgate.
Doing the tailgating. Yes.
Yeah, that was last week's show. We were trying to talk to our listening audience and say it's still okay.
Yes.
To do the tailgate.
Absolutely.
And if you're enjoying the tailgate, a lot of times you don't have the same cooking capacity as you do at the house. And so one of the things is, how do I cook all these different things on the grill at the same time and it all be ready around the same time?
Yeah.
Right.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Your veggies, your whatever veggies, you're making.
Your potatoes, whatever it is else that you're making.
Yes.
You know? And we know we have good tailgate food and brats are right up there, hot dogs. But you got stuff to go along with the brats. And those are the peppers and the onions and... maybe you have some potatoes, but if you want to cook vegetables on the grill or maybe corn on the cob or things like that while you're out there, some of the ways to cook those things is with heavy-duty aluminum foil.
Heavy-duty aluminum foil.
Yeah, you need heavy-duty aluminum foil because a lot of times some of the stuff you have might have a little jagged edge or whatever, but you want to be able to wrap it without a hole going into the aluminum
foil. Right.
And then plus with the kind of heat that's going to be coming up through some of the direct heat, you want to be able to protect a few food without it burning.
Okay, that makes sense. That way you don't burn your food,
you protect your food.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yes, that does make sense. So, you know, one of the most popular foods out there for the tailgate are brats or sausages, and typically with brats and sausages, you're going to have peppers and onions, and you just have some type of mixture, and those just, you want to top on that sandwich on that dog.
Yeah.
And one of the ways to prepare that is you take the aluminum foil, you roll out a nice size piece of aluminum foil.
Yeah.
You take the chopped up onions and peppers and
then toppings, really.
Your
right?
toppings, really.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
The ones that need a little heat on them.
Okay.
Need to be cooked a little bit.
Yeah.
You take those and you lay them on one side of the aluminum foil, and then you take it and you fold it over. And so now you have a rectangle or whatever, and the peppers are right up in the middle of that. And then you fold the edges.
Oh.
So now you're going to have three edges.
Yeah.
And you fold those three edges and you fold them tight. And then you have a little pouch.
Yes. Right. Okay. Okay.
Vegetables.
Uh-huh.
And so then you can just take those vegetables and you can just toss it on the grill in the direct heat. Also, if you want to have any little, like, little, I don't know if you want to put seasoning or anything on those vegetables first.
Sure, right.
But you would do that. And then you just throw them on the grill.
Okay.
And you have them on direct heat, depending on how hot it is. You're only going to need them on there for
a couple minutes.
Yeah, well, no more than 10 minutes.
Okay. All right.
You
know, not
bad. So you have them on there somewhere between five and 10 minutes. And those things are going to be just right. They're going to be steamed. They're going to be cooked. And then you can just pull that off and they can just wait for the other stuff to get. So you can throw it on. Well, depends on what size grill you have or whatever.
Where right.
Your sausages and everything are cooking.
Oh,
and
perfect.
And then they're going to be nice and warm and hot. And
done at the same time.
Done at the same time.
Oh, gosh.
Or the other thing is corn on the cob.
Mm.
You can.
Yeah, how do I do that? How do I do that?
There's two ways to do corn on the cob on the grill.
Yeah.
I think one is. These are the two preferred methods, my preferred methods. One is, if you had time to soak the corn on the cob in the husk, and then you just soak it in water. And then
plain
you just
water.
Throw them, just plain water for a couple of hours or so.
Hmm.
And then you take them out and you just throw them on the grill and you roll them around.
From water to the grill.
From water to the grill.
No drying it off.
No drying off. You just kind of drain them a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Then you can throw them on the grill. And then you just turn them and... when they come off, you would chuck them.
Yeah.
And they're great.
Wow.
At that point, you've got some really nice, and I cook corn like that all the time on the grill.
Mm-hmm.
But another way to do it, and if you were at a tailgate and you didn't want to go through
the
pulling
husk.
All that,
yeah,
all the husk and the silk and all that, you want to do that. Well, in your prep at the house,
before you go,
you could do all that and then take the corn. Add a little seasoning in there.
Okay.
And then you take the corn and wrap it in the heavy-duty aluminum foil. And then you want to get it sealed up real good and on the end and twist it where there's no air that can get in.
Get in there, right.
Yeah, yeah. And then you would just put the corn on the grill like that.
Really?
Right. And then that corn, again, it's going to be in there and it's going to steam.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have, and then when you start pulling the corn off as it's ready, then you could put your butter on or whatever in the corn, just like, sort of like you would do a baked potato or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, so you could have corn that way. Again, great use of aluminum foil.
Absolutely.
And then there's one other thing, and I do this periodically. When I want to cook a meal all on the grill, and this is where I'll take, like, new potatoes. And what I do is I take those potatoes and I cut them in half. These are the smaller potatoes.
Yeah.
And when I say small, I'm talking smaller than a pool ball or whatever.
Okay.
I mean.
Oh, the tiny potatoes.
Yeah, these are the tiny potatoes. And you take those and you slice them in half.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you lay out that aluminum foil. You put them in there, add a little olive oil. Sometimes I just rub the olive oil on the
potatoes.
Potato.
Yeah.
Right. And,
yep,
and then I put them in there. And then it depends on what seasonings you like.
Mm-hmm.
I like to put thyme. And rosemary and a little kosher salt and maybe, you know, some type of pepper or something like that. You just put those in there in the same method.
Yeah.
And then they're ready to go on the grill. They'll be ready in 30 minutes.
Oh, easy.
On the grill. And so you just toss that on and then you flip it over after a little while.
Yeah.
You know, halfway through. Well, it'll puff up, but it's okay. And you just... Flip it over. And and you're gonna have some nice potatoes, you're gonna have some nice corn, and this same way you could do any other kind of vegetables you like on the
really
Yeah, yeah. This is the way you steam the vegetables. There's also a way you can use an aluminum foil and you don't fold it. You could just place the aluminum foil over the grate.
Yeah.
And then you could just lay the vegetables straight on the aluminum foil.
Right.
And that may take the vegetables a little longer to cook. Like, okay. But you can go either way. And so this is a way that if you're at a tailgate or you just want to get all this food and you're all cooking it on the grill and you don't have any other option, these are the ways to utilize aluminum foil, utilize your grill, and you have the vegetables, the starch, and you have the meats all cooking on the grill at the same time. And then you just take it off. And there you go.
And it's all done at the same time.
Right. So anyway, hey, it's time for us to take a break. This is Ken with Get Your Barbecue On. We'll be right back. We'll be checking in with Dr. Jones, our pitmaster in training. And also, we're going to be answering a listener question. So we'll see you in just a few.
Octavia Social Media Strategies is a digital marketing firm that has the perfect solutions for your services. We offer website development, social media marketing, and video marketing to ensure your business a winning edge amongst competitors. We are a proud, locally Black-owned business serving the Tucson area, and we are offering a special for you, a free digital marketing assessment. All you have to do is contact us at 520-777-3540. That is 520-777-3540. Or visit us at www.octavia.social. We are an entrepreneur's first choice to be seen, be known, and be the expert.
Hey, welcome back to Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander. We are here with the doctor, and it's time for us to answer a question.
We're going to answer my question, actually. I have a question.
Dr.
I'm going to go right in front of everybody and have a question because I'm preparing to cook ribs. So here's my question.
So it looks like today's question is from Dr. Andre Jones. Go ahead. Shoot.
Here's my question because I'm about to cook some ribs this weekend. So how do I keep my temperature on my grill consistent? Because it doesn't stay as consistent as I want it to be.
Well, that's a really great question. You just have to kind of do temperature checks. And then once you get there, you just adjust it. It's sort of like when I'm frying turkeys or I'm using my big fryer and I have the big turkey thermometer. There's a thermometer that you hook onto the side of the pot and it goes down there. And then so I'm typically trying to fry turkeys between 325 and 350, probably. Mm. When I'm heating up the oil, I want to get the oil up to close to 350 because when I put the turkey in, the temperature is going to drop.
Right.
Right. But then once it gets there, I have to tweak the heat because I'm usually cooking with propane. I'm going old school.
Oh.
I'm going old school with the turkey fryer. A lot of people have those newfangled, you know, cooking on the counter turkey fryers and all that stuff. But
Yeah. No.
You just don't get the crispness of the turkey in that. To me, I don't think they can heat up as well as my gas.
Yeah.
And so I kind of stay old school with the frying the turkeys. So as I'm frying the turkeys and the temperature drops once I put the turkey in, then I have to kind of tweak the flame to get it to a certain temperature. So I think when you have a grill that is, it's not like a stove or an oven where you just
turn it
program it to 350,
yeah,
it's 350.
There,
but
yeah.
The grill with the thermometer on the hood, you just kind of have to tweak it and when it's up and just to get to that temperature that you want.
So just keep playing with it, in other words.
Just kind of like, you know, you
play
check
with it a little
and,
bit.
And then you check, and if it's a little over, a little under, you move it a little bit. And then after a while, I'd say probably after 30 minutes or so, you can get to where you want it. I'm assuming this is when you like barbecuing or something like that, and you wanted to get it to that temperature.
Especially when I'm doing ribs.
Right.
Because I want to keep it at a certain temperature, and I just want to make sure that way I can leave it alone.
All right.
Because I was noticing that was the thing. I kept going in there like, it's a little off. And it will go up like a couple degrees. It won't go too high, but I just wanted that consistent
but even a lot of grills that don't, I mean, and ovens. I know, like, our commercial smoker that we use at the restaurant.
Yeah.
It will fluctuate between five degrees.
Both ways. Okay.
So you got a 10 degree fluctuation with those smokers.
Got it.
And so if I'm cooking at 200, I could go look at it, could be 195 or it could be 205.
Right.
But that's just the range it fluctuates in.
And, okay. Yeah.
So you might have a little range, but that grill, maybe it might not be as much, but you have to tweak it.
All right. Questions answered.
Yeah. You just have to adjust it until you get to that temperature that you like.
Okay. All right. I'll just keep playing with it then.
Yeah. All right. So now it's time to check in with our pit master in training, Dr. Andre Jones. What's going on with the pit master training?
Well, I'll tell you like this. You know, the last time I cooked steaks for my mother.
Right.
It was a lot of fun. And then during the week, my go-to is hamburgers. But however, something happened this weekend that I really want to tell you about. I want to do it in story form.
Story form.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. You ready?
I'm ready. As long as it's in story
form. Okay, cool. It's all in story form. So taking the significance out that I was in the hospital this weekend.
What?
I was in the hospital this weekend.
What happened, Dr. Jones?
I took a medication, had an allergic reaction.
Oh.
And so it put me in a hospital for 2 days.
Oh.
Now, this is my first time ever staying in a hospital longer than like a few hours. When the doctor came in and said, "We're going to keep you in the hospital," I said, "You're going to do what?" And immediately, the reason why I'm not happy about this already is because of the hospital food.
Hospital food.
Yes.
You didn't enjoy the hospital food?
No. No, I did not enjoy the hospital food. Here is my take on hospital food. Are you ready? This is my adventure on hospital food.
I'm ready.
I'm so happy to go home soon.
Right.
To fire up my grill.
Yeah.
Like, this is the thing I'm excited about. And everything I saw on TV, of course, as I'm laying there, looked so good. Especially when I had it on the grill. I'm like, I could be doing that right now. Totally. So night one.
Right.
The night I get there.
Yeah.
They don't feed me till late at night.
What?
So finally I get a turkey sandwich.
Mm.
The best turkey sandwich I've ever had. Mostly because I was hungry.
That's the best thing you had that day.
Oh my gosh, the best thing of my life. It was so funny because this really attractive woman comes in, right, with the food.
Right.
And instead of looking at the woman, I'm looking at the food. coming in with a big old smile on my face with the food.
Yeah.
So the next morning, it was like egg, sausage, and pancakes. Not bad. For lunch, we had breaded chicken and also some broccoli.
Breaded chicken and broccoli.
Yeah. Okay. Mm. Not bad. And then sweet potatoes. But I don't eat sweet potatoes because I'm over sweet potatoes. Because when I was a kid, my great grandfather wanted sweet potatoes every day.
Whoa.
It was just too much sweet potatoes. It was literally coming in my ears. So anyway, so I taste the breaded chicken and I'm like, it's like missing seasoning. Like, I'm thinking in my, I'm like literally going in my head and going into my cabinet going, what would I put on this? What would I do to fix this chicken? Because this chicken is not right.
Right.
And I'm thinking of, I would totally grill this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was thinking about how to grill it and what temperature I would put it at, you know, making sure. And then the broccoli, you know, we're talking earlier about aluminum foil.
Right.
I'm sure now that I'm thinking about it, put some broccoli in that aluminum foil.
Yeah.
Steam it on there. Oh my gosh, it's so much better. It was crunchy.
Yeah.
The broccoli was like I was eating potato chips. Crunchy. Yeah,
it's too hard.
A little too hard.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, al dente is good, but sounds like it was just...
It was hard on the teeth. It was really rough. Yeah.
Far from al dente.
Exactly. Exactly. And then we had pasta for dinner. Yeah. Not
was
that bad.
Crunchy too?
That was... It was almost. But however, they had an IV in me. So as I was trying to eat, it kept beeping. So it was a very inconvenient dinner.
Right.
Not the way I wanted it. So it, you know, all in all, what I'm trying to say is that, like, I miss seasoning. I miss a little bit of salt. I missed some pepper. I missed some rub. I missed the taste of grill. Like, I just missed it all. So I had a break.
And it was the weekend. And that was the weekend. When you barbecue.
Exactly.
Grilling.
Exactly. With, wow. With, I haven't had a good cream soda in like 4 days.
Wow.
This is, I'm dying here. I'm dying here. So when I get home, a Hebrew National is in order. It might be a Hebrew National sandwich because I'm out of hot dog buns.
Right.
So I just might cook it, cut it up in fours, and then make a couple sandwiches. Yeah. And that's going to be my dinner.
And cream soda.
And it's, yes, got to have the cream soda. So that was my experience. I just have to ask hospitals, please season your food a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a tad.
Yeah.
Enough just so that way I'm not imagining how this should taste.
Right.
But literally, I'll know how it tastes. It's a taste. How to use a lot of imagination this weekend.
All right.
That's it. I'm thinking this weekend, I'm going to go back and do another attempt on ribs.
All right.
I think I'm going to do it again. I'm going to hold the sauce, not have the sauce on there, and just really focus on just making the rib taste good on its own. So
that, well. That's good, Dr. Joe.
Yeah.
I'm happy to see you going back and getting back in the saddle.
Absolutely.
On the ribs.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I look forward. We really look forward to hearing how that goes next week.
Yeah.
And you just, no meat tenderizer.
That's right. No meat tenderizer. Use my rub. Yeah. Take the membrane off.
Right.
Marinate it the night before.
Low and slow.
Low and slow.
All right.
And now I know how to adjust my temperature. I'm good to go.
Yeah, I'm thinking that, I look forward to seeing those pictures, Dr. Jones.
Absolutely. You know, I'll take some and show them to you.
All right. Well, thank you very much for checking in with us.
Of course.
All right. We appreciate it. And we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Sounds good.
And seeing your adventures with the ribs.
Absolutely.
All right.
We'll put some cream soda in there somehow. We'll figure it out.
All right. That's cool. All right. Well, we're going to take a break right now. But when we come back, we're going to bring you the good news. We're going to be talking to Donna Liggins, community activist. Going to be a great conversation. We look forward to talking to you on the other side. So take care. We'll be right back. This is Ken from Ken's Hardwood Barbecue Restaurant, where we have created a blend of barbecue and southern cooking. We have taken the best barbecue styles and flavors from Texas, Missouri, and the Carolinas. What food has meant to my family is a way to come together in fellowship. We invite you to come and join us. We are located at 5250 East 22nd Street in Tucson at the crossroads of Craycroft and 22nd. Call us at 520-745-4746. Come on down and get your barbecue on.
Hey, welcome back from the break. This is Ken on Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander on KVOI 1030 The Voice. Well, it's time to bring you the good news. We have a wonderful guest here today, Donna Liggins. She has done so many great things around Tucson as a community activist. She spent a lot of time working her way up through the city of Tucson. And it's a pleasure to have her here on Get Your Barbecue On. Donna, thank you very much for joining us today on the show.
And thank you for asking me to be on the show.
Fantastic. Donna, I've been in Tucson since the time I arrived in Tucson in 1985. Around town, events like Juneteenth and Martin Luther King Day, and there's so many different organizations that I am aware of, but a lot of times your name would be mentioned as a leader in the community, somebody that when we look to for advice or that was out helping folks out in the community, and especially in the African-American community and with women, Donna Liggins' name was certainly mentioned. And it's such a pleasure to have you on the show. Just curious on, you know, how you came to Tucson and a little bit about how you got to be and do all these wonderful things in the community.
Well, I was born in Las Vegas, But my father moved to the White Mountains, my mother and father.
Okay.
I spent up to the ninth grade in the White Mountains. And then I moved to Tucson in 1958.
Well, okay.
And went to high school at Tucson High, graduated from Tucson High, ran through the university.
Okay.
And Pima College.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Then I got a job with the city. City of Tucson.
Yes, ma'am.
I worked for them for 43 years.
Mm-hmm.
I started out as a rec leader.
Oh, okay, rec leader.
Yes,
yeah.
And I have worked at almost every center here Tucson.
Right.
So that's what we started. I was in ceramics. I was in recreation, all of that. So, and a lot of the young people that were along at that time, like Jeff Lewis and others that were coming up. Now, these are grown men, got their own families now. But they were good at sports, and we had probably one of the best teams of volleyball, and I was over that team. So I started in recreation, then I moved on up to supervisor.
Okay, so that was like a city league volleyball team?
Yes, we were at Estevan at the time, but we was probably the baddest team in Tucson.
Right.
Because I had the best players.
So you coach volleyball too?
Well, you had to have something for the youth. You had to have something for them to do. And they seemed to like volleyball. It was good because we competed against every other center. So,
right.
So that's what we did.
Yeah, I mean, as you know, Jeff Lewis is a very, very good friend of mine, and he has nothing but good things to say about you, as he was his experience at at the rec centers when he was coming up. And he said, Donna, you were pretty young in those days, but he said even at that time you were like a no nonsense.
Oh yeah,
kind of.
Well, you had to be because you played around, you know. Yeah. They would get you, really. They would get you. They would just torment you, you know.
Yes.
You had to be strong and stern, but yet have fun with them.
What were some of the challenges you had as being a young Black woman starting to work at the city of Tucson and with coming up through the system?
Well, I came through it pretty good, but I had a long time getting where I had to get.
Really. Yeah.
It took them a long time to really let Blacks have a career as I had, you know what I mean? But I had been there so long, and I never will forget, the supervisor at the time was Ole Underwood, and I don't know if you knew Ole. He's passed away now.
Mm-hmm.
But he came, and I was in recreation. He says, Don, I'm going to make you a supervisor.
Wow.
You've been here a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very grateful for him to do that, and he did do it.
Mm-hmm.
He made me a supervisor of the Randolph Center, which is on Alvernon here.
Right. Yeah, I know Randolph very well.
Yeah, I worked there for about 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
As a supervisor. And then they said, well, it's time for her to go back on her side of town. For a better word.
Yeah, so that's the south side of town.
Yeah. Right. Where the center is.
Right.
I had a death in my family, and I had left and went to Oklahoma. When I come back, I was moved.
Oh.
Yeah, they had moved me during that time.
Yeah.
So when I came back, I went to Northwest at that time. Now it's
The Northwest Center over at.
Yeah, now it's down the Ligon Center.
Okay.
But they moved me over there while I was at a funeral. And I was in Oklahoma, with my grandfather, So when I came back at first, and they wasn't using the center because it had gotten so bad. It had really got.
It's got a rundown.
More drugs around it where people wouldn't come to the center. I think they were afraid to come to the center.
Okay, so then that means you had to clean it up.
I had to go in the park. We did sit-ins. We did walking through the neighborhood.
Wow.
Finally, we got it where we cleaned it up. And then I had police to come and around the center.
Mm-hmm.
I had posted police there for at least 3 or 4 days out of the week.
Right. Not being from Tucson, but having a lot of friends here, I guess that was like the Sugar Hill neighborhood.
Yeah. Sugar Hill neighborhood. Yeah.
Right.
So after a while, it calmed down and the drugs moved away.
Mm-hmm.
And people start coming to the center. I build up the center.
Yeah.
Got it going again. So that's how they named that center after me, really.
Man. I mean, how does it feel to have for like a center named after you?
Well, at first I was like, when they told me, I said, this lady that worked at the center, she says, you know, this center need to be named after you. You done doing all this work. I said, do I look sick or something? You know, because people usually die. They usually are, I said, well,
I plan on being around a while.
I said, well, do I look sick or something? Do you know something I don't know? She said, no, you don't look sick.
But
they had a petition, and they had to have the petition for it, and people signed it, I guess, and then they took it to the city.
Wow.
And that's how that building became named after me. Yeah, but I was like, yeah, everybody up there, the other person is dead. You know what I mean? he never got to see his name.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
And I'm
right.
saying, oh, maybe they know Omen or something. I don't know. Wow. But I'm glad that it's rare that you do get to see it, because usually they name them after past.
Right. Posthumously, yeah. That's the thing about it. I mean, that is a wonderful honor. I mean, you know,
yes,
to see
it.
Yeah.
And then after that, I said, I just start working in the community after that. I just continue to work in the community at the center. And then, you know, I couldn't, in 2006, I took over the NAACP.
Right, you were the president of the NAACP.
I was the president of the NAACP.
Right.
I've been with the Black Women's Task Force over 30 years.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yes. And so I just worked there because I thought they had a worthy cause.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to help others, you know. And then my parents, my father died, and I was raised by women, my grandmother and my mother. Mm-hmm. So
Strong women. Yeah, that's good.
And so they said, if you're going to do something, just do the best that you can do and always help somebody else. So I just kind of grew up with that. You know, you can help somebody else do stuff. So that's what I did.
Right. So these are the Black Women's Task Force.
Yes, Annie Seitz is over the Black Women Task Force at this time. I mean, she's been over it for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good organization that cares about women.
Right.
And their rights, you know, and where they could help them, because I am the vice president of that.
That is definitely
and she's
needed. I mean, you know, women's rights, and especially Black women.
Yes.
You know, even when women got the right to vote and got all that, I mean, Black women were still left behind.
Yes, we
and
were.
They were still not thought of. And even to this day, when you look at pay, when you look at different kinds of things,
we're still back in this just as we
yeah,
were. Really.
Yeah, just
really.
As we were. So, I could see the need, and it's imperative that the Black Women's Task Force is such a needed organization. And
she's done a great job.
All right. So, hey, it's time for us to take a break, Donna.
Okay.
We'll be back in just a minute. This is Ken Alexander on KBOI 1030, The Voice. Get your barbecue on. We'll be right back. Thank you.
We here at Octavia Social Media Strategy support the brave men and women who risk their lives on the front line of this coronavirus. We ask that everybody protect themselves and each other by following all the basic steps necessary to curb this disease. Remember to wash your hands and wear your mask at all times, because family and friends are the most important gifts on earth. Please visit our website at www.octavia.social to help join us in this effort. We look forward to working with you, and when it comes to social media, let us help you be seen, be known, and be the expert.
Hey, welcome back for the break. This is Ken on Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander. I'm here with Donna Liggins, community activist. She's here talking to us about her experience here in Tucson. And Donna, you mentioned the NAACP, and used to be the president of NAACP.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Tell us a little bit about your role there.
As the president, you try to run everything and check out the community that you're in,
mm-hmm.
and check out what the people, try to give them what their needs are as far as helping them in a legal redress,
uh-huh.
you know, in any problem that they have to come to us and fill out a complaint,
mm-hmm.
you know, like if they had some problem on a job or whatever, that's what it's all about.
Okay.
Is helping others to speak for others that might cannot speak for themselves, that feel that they have been mistreated.
Yes.
And also to get people involved in voting, like mm-hmm. we need now, you know.
Right.
And as I say, Ms. Doris Snowden is the president of the mm-hmm. NAACP now. So she's working on trying to get people to vote.
Yeah, getting them
to come out, get registered, and to vote. You know, so that is the main thing right now.
Yeah, not telling you who to vote for,
nope.
but Vote,
yes.
Exercise that opportunity that those folks fought for.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But that's pretty much, you know, what it's all about in the NAACP is really helping others. to speak for them. They can't speak for themselves.
That's great. That's great.
That's really what it's all about. Miss Snowden's doing a good job, and she's been in there 4 years.
Well, okay.
So once you get in there, it's kind of hard to get out.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah, I know. Especially when you're doing a good job.
Yeah, it is.
You know, folks say, "Well, won't you stay?
Won't you run again?" No, thank you. I done been there, done that. Okay, not running no more. You know.
No. Well, that's what happens. You know, when you find somebody that does a good job, and a lot of times, unfortunately, because of that, people get kind of burned out. I mean, they're doing a great job.
After a while, you have to. You know, it will burn you out. You know, because you have to go a lot of places, do a lot of things, go to a lot of meetings. I mean, a lot of meetings. Right. I think the pandemic, you know, it's just a terrible thing. But just not to have to run so many places, you know, you can't go everywhere like you would if you could get around.
Right.
So you have to do a lot of Zoom. But sometimes it's better than getting in, driving over here, driving over there. So that part is kind of nice. But, you know, the rest. It's sad because it's a whole different lifestyle now, you know.
Right.
It, with the pandemic, you know, it's places you can't go, and some people are taking it serious and some people are not taking it serious, you know, which is not good.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, the pandemic's here, you can't go places, but the needs, now the needs are going to be greater than they were before the pandemic, especially with
businesses.
You know, with the unemployment going away, with businesses closing, the need is greater now
than it was before.
Yeah. And you just have to figure out how do you get it done by doing Zoom calls and that, you know, it's just
you're gonna have to you're gonna have to work harder. You know, you're gonna as far as getting your information out. Mm-hmm. Communication is, you know, we never had real good communication in Tucson anyway.
You're right.
So you're gonna have to be very inventive now to get out to people, but a lot of it is Zoom, or you're going to be calling or sending letters or doing something, because you're going to have to work for it now.
Right.
Harder than you did before, you know, because before we just walk in, do this, do that. Now, you know, you don't know where to go.
Right. And that's you think. You got to get the word out. Got to spread the word. Yeah. And at this point, we really need to reach out and help people.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Well, one of the other things that you do is MLK Day. You've been you've had a role in the celebration.
Yes, 32 years there. I've been there about 25.
Wow.
Yeah. So and we're planning for it, but we will not know until December or the end of November if we'll be able to have it.
Yeah, I guess that depends on the county,
the
state,
the
city.
It depends on the city for us. So then we would, you know, people will know that if we're having it or not having it, you know.
Right, if you get the permit.
What
the requirements are to even have the event.
Because that started, you know, Clarence started that 30 years ago.
Right.
And he did it up to the 30th year, and then Urban League took over, and now it's under the IMA.
Right, the IMA.
But and we still work, me, Doris.
The Interface Ministerial Alliance.
Yes. So it's there. So we're working on it. We still have meetings. So we'll let people know about November if we can.
Yeah, and you mentioned Clarence Boykins.
He had the major role.
He got MLK Day here.
Him and Reverend Stewart.
Right, okay. Reverend Stewart.
Yeah. They got the MLK Day here in Tucson. He worked on that. And then he did the MLK. He started the MLK.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
Yeah. But now, he does a lot in the community, too.
Right. And your role in MLK today is the...
food.
Oh, you handle all the vendors.
Yes.
Right.
You try to get it out to them to come out and sell their food, you know. Because like you say, everybody is struggling.
Right,
you know,
sure.
some of them can't pay that fee, you know what I mean, and then you have to pay the county, you know, all of them are separate fees.
You have to pay the Parks and Rec.
You have to pay the city, you have to pay the county, and then you have to pay the MLK.
Right.
But what we're asking for from the MLK, it help us put it on the next year.
Uh-huh.
We're not making money, you know what I mean, because we have nobody to, the city used to help us with doing things. They do a little bit now, but we need people now to help us to do that.
Right, okay. So, well, that's wonderful. So, this is a barbecue show.
Okay.
So, I'm just interested to know, as you were a young person coming up, I mean, in your household and just kind of like, what does food mean to you? Or, you know, was your dad, did he get out there and barbecue? Who was the cook in your family? And
my father could barbecue, but my mother could beat him.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, my mother was a great barbecue.
Oh, she was?
Yes. Yeah, yes, yeah. She just, my father, you know, he did the wood and got it ready. You
yeah,
know,
yeah.
She did all the seasoning of it and everything, you know. So I would say she was much better at it than him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he tried to cook it a little bit too fast.
yeah. You got to, low and slow is really important.
That's important. Very important. And, you know, people will come around and eat. And I noticed something back there in my childhood that people always came around the house and mama would just give them food, you know, just if they had food. It was never like, I don't have enough, you know what I mean? And not that we had a whole lot, but it was just like, just a lot of love, you know, and it was around food. People just stop off, I know you're going to have some here today, so we just stop by.
You and you always have some extra.
And she always have some extra to give. Oh, yeah, come on in. We'll do this and do that. Okay, that's amazing, you know. So, like you say, food is love, I think.
Yeah, food. I mean, it's about bringing people
together. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it brings people together. And what you remember, I mean, you remember the good food, but what it is, you remember. You remember the people.
Yes.
And the people that come by your house. And that just shows, and that's, again, that's a sign of love in that, you know, you have a house that people want to stop by and come by. Yeah. And the big thing is, they know that they're welcome.
Yes, that's it.
And that's
the main
huge
thing, that you're welcome. Yes.
That's huge.
It is. And then as I got older, and we came to Tucson, my mother, but I learned how to barbecue too.
Okay.
I could barbecue. Now, I got married, and he was a good barbecuer. He came from Oklahoma and Texas.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
He could barbecue. And it was good. And he was another one that liked to share his food. And,
Well, I would think that you wouldn't hook up with somebody other than somebody that want to.
Well, you don't know. Every man can cook now.
No, I know, but I'm saying, but at least want to share, you know.
Every man cannot cook.
No, there's a whole lot of folks that can't cook. A whole lot of guys.
And some women can't cook.
Yeah. There's some guys that can't barbecue, too.
Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, it is. It is. I know a lot of them be trying, but it's come that I'll be telling them, you're cooking a little too fast.
Yeah.
I said, you got to cook it slow and don't put all that barbecue sauce on trying to cook no meat. And
there you go.
So
that meat, that flavor needs to stand on its own.
That's right.
Without some sauce.
That's right. If you can eat it without sauce as well as with sauce, right, you got barbecue.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
But yes, my mother could cook and my sister, she could cook. But she was more of a baker, I would say.
Oh, okay.
But we just had a lot of people come to our house here in Tucson. They just stopped by. And my sister's friends, my friends, you know, they just stopped by. Mama always had food. We were cooking. It don't matter who did it. So.
Well, that's great.
Yes.
Yeah,
I had a very good childhood. Good childhood.
Well, that's great, John. Yeah. So, but anyway, I really appreciate you coming on the show today. Do you have any, like, tips for the young folks, the young people, or, you know, any as far as anything?
First of all, they
got to
get their education.
Education.
They got to get their education.
Yes, ma'am.
And if they're young or they're young adults, you need to vote. You need to think about your future in all aspects, you know, as far as education, and learn about your community, about what your community needs. And then, you know, what you need and what you want to get out of it and what you want to see where you live.
Yeah.
And it is your community.
Yeah, because it starts local.
Yes, it starts local. Yes. And then, you know, you once you know what you want, you can move anywhere you want to move. But know your community that you live in and try to help your community that you live in.
It's only one thing I didn't get to mention yet was about that bedwiz.
You can mention that. Just go right ahead and mention that. When do you want to be whooped? You know, my partner's Doris.
Your partner's Doris. Hey, we ready to take y'all anytime. we got to get back on the card table.
Yes. Jeff always talking about what he can do, but he never gets on the table.
I know.
Because he's scared.
Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah. He has a tendency not to get on the table.
No, just talk about it at the table. Yeah. What he going to do, and he never get around to doing it.
All right.
But I know you think you're pretty good.
Well, hey, we'll see next time.
Oh, yeah, we'll see. Yeah. It's all in the cards.
It's all in the cards. All right. All right, Donna. Thank you very much. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show today.
Thank you. I didn't know what to expect, but I said, okay, yeah. I'm going to try this.
Yeah, try it. All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're quite
welcome.
It's
been quite a pleasure. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, that's a wrap. Thank you for joining us today on Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander. Remember, you can also hear us on Anchor.fm, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course on our website, kenshardwoodbbq.com, and just click Radio Show. Thank you and take care.